Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, I know we had to smooth it out, right? We're gonna take a minute to just talk about our future in Christ. Give me a second. Listen, I know
you're suffering. Lord, we are just grateful, Lord God, for this morning. Father, we're grateful, Lord God, for the breath of life, for peace, Father, for joy that comes from you, for the work of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and the way that in all things, Lord, you take care of your people and that you watch over those that could not fend for themselves, Father, if it was not for you, Lord, looking out for us and making the way, Lord, where there is no way. And Father, just this morning, Lord God, as we would come together in your name in this place, Lord, we do bind every demonic force, every work of the devil, Lord, every hindering spirit, Lord. And in Jesus' name, we do cast it out, Father. We call it null and void, and we break its authority and its ability to do anything here or hinder your people, Father. And Lord, in place of that, Father, we continue to pray and to release and to yield to the free flow of your Holy Spirit in and through us. Lord, we do pray, Lord, in accordance with your word, your kingdom come and your will be done. And Lord Jesus, just this morning, Father, I pray that every word that's spoken, Lord God, would be the word of your Spirit, Lord, and your word, Lord God, that is for us this day. Lord, have your way, Lord, completely. I acknowledge openly, Lord, that there's nothing good in me but your Holy Spirit. And so to your Spirit, Lord God, I yield right now as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Well, good morning. Good morning. You know, I was thinking recently, you know, sometimes I go into these periods of like deep reflection. And you know, it's kind of like those, what is life? Why are we here? You know, what an amazing experience this life is. Because, you know, if you stop and you think about it, I mean, people, we get so busy with all of these things around us, but if you stop and think about it, how amazing this life is. I mean, you and I, for example, one thing, we exist in a body. We exist in a physical body. And this body allows us to move around on the earth. We're not stuck in one place. Like that tree right there. That tree will be there for its entire existence. Its entire life, unless somebody root balls it and moves it, which maybe it happens once in its life, that tree will spend its entire existence in that spot. And everything it ever experiences will be confined to what happens in that location. But you and I are in physical bodies where we can get up, move around, go all over the place. And in the midst of this being able to get up and go all over the place, we experience things. We see things with our eyes, we hear things with our ears. If it's hot, we feel it. If it's cold, we feel it. You have emotions, you have feelings in everything that's happening. And so you can have several emotions at the same time. So you can be really happy about one thing and you can have stress coming at you from something else. And the same time that all of this is going on, your body is digesting food and feeling a little bit tired and going to bed and waking up. Yeah. And there's bombs going off and countries are buying and selling things. And there's typhoons and there's earthquakes happening all over the world. And this is what's happening on the natural level. Then on the spiritual level, there's clashes between angels and demons, and you have all this stuff going on. Okay, in all of this you can go, you can just breathe easy. Why? Because Jesus said, don't be anxious about anything, but in all things, with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. You know, when you stop and you think about things just a little bit like that, you realize how little control you actually have over everything that's happening in your life and this world that you're in. There's very little that you and I control. And you know, it's actually an illusion in the mind of people to think that they're controlling things. You remember when Nebuchadnezzar, back in the book of Daniel, where at one point he's up on the rooftop and he says, look at what I have built. I've built this great Babylon by my own hand. And God had given him a dream a year before that, warning him about what was going to happen. It happened, and by the time that he was speaking the words, it says before the words even finished coming off of his mouth, God put him in his place. So this number one king, the head of gold in the statue, the one that's all of those different things, God just takes one little piece of his brain and flips it so it doesn't work. And he basically lost his mind and went and ate grass like a cow for 7 years. And once he had fully learned his lesson, God gives him back his mind. And reminds him that God is in control of all of the kingdoms of this world. He gives them to whomever he chooses. He allows them to be in the positions that they're in. So you have, yes, you have the devil in Luke chapter 4 offering Jesus something in the system of the world. But ultimately, God is the one controlling that. If he doesn't want that, he does away with it all. So amidst all of these things, you and I can stop and realize one thing very, very certainly. God is completely in control. Absolutely, 100% completely in control of everything that is going on around us at this time. Now, one thing that's happening too is God, in his ability to control this whole thing, is allowing for the free will of man to be exercised. And what you're seeing now around the world in so many things that are happening is man exercising his free will separate from God, and out of his exercise of free will away from God, destroying himself and destroying other people. You see, you and I cannot make a good decision apart from the Spirit of God. There's Proverbs 16 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So there's lots of things that people do that they think are right, but in the end, they're ways that lead to death. So for example, I'll give you a very easy one. For example, you know with food, right? You've seen fruits and vegetables and you know, sometimes things that get imported. Imported fruits and vegetables. And sometimes you're like, wow, look how red and bright that apple is. You know, it's like, my goodness, have you ever seen? You remember when you were a child, you never saw apples like this, and now all of a sudden, where do these apples come from? Big and red, and if you buy it and you put it on your shelf, it'll stay fine for 3 weeks. Maybe not that. Okay, something that man has done is man in science has learned how to manipulate and change things that are in nature. They call it genetic engineering. So they isolate, they isolate some part of how this fruit is made, and they make the tree, they teach the tree to make the apple more red. To make it bigger. But then the problem is, see, when God made that food, when God made the trees to make fruit, He created it in the way that He wanted it to be for the health of mankind. See, the best way for you to ever eat something like a fruit and a vegetable is it's growing outside. Right when it's ready, you pluck it from the tree, you take it, you wash it, you eat it. Because in that time where it's there, there's nutrients that are there even from the sun and from it being attached to that, which is very life-giving. But man and genetic engineering and these things that they do, now the problem is you have something that sits there for 3 weeks, all the nutrition is gone, it's just a big bright red ball. So what's the problem? The problem is, in the end, man creates something that looks good to him. Ah, big red apple. But inside, there's nothing there that has substance that's life-giving for the body. And then the problem is, in the end, when people eat something for nutrition, they eat something because they need to be able for your body to go, it doesn't have the fuel in it that it needs to for your body to be able to run. So if you have a petrol car and you put petrol inside, imagine the next time you put in and half of it is water and half of it is petrol. If you do that, the car may run, but it'll... So man does this to himself. Man makes so many of his own problems. So we though are a people that understand our need for a savior. We need to be saved from our own way. We need to be saved from our own thinking. And we need to be restored to the idea that God had for each and every one of us from the foundation of the world. Okay, let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. And verse 1 says, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Okay, just verse 1 through 4. Okay, so going all the way back, we talked about this one before and Tara and all that, but that's a different side. This, Abraham is called the father of the faith. Because for him, he was one of the initial people that did this thing where God called them, he heard the voice of God, and he stepped out with what God was doing. Now, in order for someone to be willing to step out like that, there's a few things in themselves they would need to understand. Okay, one, you'd have to have an assurance of the voice of God. Okay, two, you would have to really believe that He is really in control of all things. Think about it. You would really have to believe that God is, in fact, in full control. And also, you would need that confirmation and assurance in your heart that you, as you're moving forward, yes, indeed, you're on track with Him. So now, if you didn't believe that God was in control, what would your response in life be? But if you didn't believe that God was in control, you would do everything that you could to control. If you didn't believe that God was in control, you would try to control your environment, control your circumstances, control your surroundings, get other people together with you, that all of you together are trying to keep each other protected and safe in a crazy world. But if you believe that God is in control, I mean, during this time, during this age, why as an individual or a group or, you know, you and your possessions and your belongings and your family, would you go out into a hostile environment, into a hostile world, following what you thought was the voice of God, unless you really believed it? Because it's a very dangerous thing to do. The New Testament says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him as righteousness. So Abraham believed God. So when that belief is solidified in the heart of a person, you can, by a single person, a single individual, go out into any situation knowing that you're going with the voice and the direction of God. So at the end of Matthew 28, when Jesus said, look, go into all the world and do these things, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, but he said, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. So these were people that understood that reality and they lived their lives for the duration of their time in the earth based on that truth, based on that trust. Now there's a massive difference, there's a light and dark difference between the people that trust God like this and the people that do not. And this difference is something that is a heart condition. It's not something that you can put a label on and make it go away. See, that's why I don't get stuck on labels very much. If someone says that they're from such and such background, such and such place, such and such, it doesn't matter to me. Why? Because in the end, there's either those that, like Abraham, have heard the voice of God, listened to his voice, and willing to follow him out into anything, wherever he would take them, and those that did not. There are those that have been saved by grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb, that know Him and are trusting Him. And there are those that have said the world is enough for them, and that's what they want. But those that are His are those that inside of them there's a longing, there's a stirring, there's a hunger. They desire their purpose. This is important. They desire their purpose. See, Abraham, before he was called Abram, Abraham became the purpose that God had for him, he fulfilled. He said that Jesus said in verse 2, I will make thee a great nation. And thou shalt be a blessing. And make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now think about it. Even today, Abraham's name is great. How many people in the history of this nation have come and gone trying to be great men? But their lives have drained away like dirty bath water. Nobody remembers them at all. But God made a promise to Abraham, and even today we see the fruits of that promise. That's something that God was doing and something that Abraham had to do. See, sometimes people just, God will do this, God will do that. What is it that's your part in the will of God? See, you and I have a part to play in the will of God. You and I have a part to play for sure in the will of God in your own life. And that part to play goes all the way back to a prayer that Jesus even taught His disciples to pray. Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Matthew chapter 6. He taught people to pray to yield to the will of the Father. See, you and I, the place that we have influence, have ability to choose, make choice and make decision is you and I can yield to what the Father reveals and to go with that. Now could Abraham make his name great? No, he couldn't do that. But one thing that God did was, as Abraham followed Him, God orchestrated the circumstances and the situations so that His will for Abraham would be manifest as he followed and trusted Him. So when different people tried to hurt Abraham, God would protect him.
పరిచర్య చేయాలి. అబ్రహాం విధవంగా వ్యాయామం
Literally, when one king decided to take Abraham's wife and take the wife home, God came in the middle of the night past all of the security guards. And told this king, he said, look, you're basically a dead man because the woman that you've taken belongs to this guy. And because he has no other security guards to put in place, he's very scared. He gives her back very quickly. The point being that God takes care of His people. God fights for His people. And God won't think twice to kill a king to give a man back his wife that's walking with him. Why? Because Abraham had been, a promise had been made to Abraham, not to Pharaoh, not to these kings. See, all of those guys are nothing more than props on the stage. You remember when we have the Christmas programs and all the kids, they come and they're upstairs and they have the big Christmas program? Okay. You have the children that are participating in it, yes? But then also, in order to be able to have the play and the production, you also need to have certain props on the stage. So you have to put a tree here, and you need to put a bullock cart there. Certain people get costumes because they're in certain roles. But all of that's necessary to have the production. You couldn't have the production about the boy growing up in the village without the bullock cart. But when the play is over, there's no more need for the bullock cart. So you break it down and you throw away the pieces. Same thing here. As we live out the drama and the play and the production of life that God has us in, there are certain things that are necessary to be on the stage with us for the sake of the production. They're there, they have to be there. Because otherwise it's not a very good play. But when everything is done, when the whole production is finished, God will clear off the stage. There's no need for that stuff anymore. So you don't have to worry about the bullock cart. God deals with those things when He's... So likewise, God will take care of and watch out for His people, but we're in the middle of something much bigger, much more amazing than that. Okay, John 17 and verse 3 is one of my most favorite verses. It says, This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. Now this is life eternal, that they know God. Now know that it's not, life eternal is not that they know about God. But they know God. The difference between me knowing about Nirmala versus me actually knowing Nirmala are two different things. There's a lot of people that know things about God. But the difference between them knowing about Him and actually knowing Him, that's the difference between death and life. Now this is life eternal, that they know Him. Now, scriptures also talk about the beginning of all, God is the source of all wisdom and knowledge and understanding in Proverbs chapter 1. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all these things. So it begins with the relationship and things flow from Him into our lives. But it comes on His terms. And ultimately, it's all about Jesus. Because Jesus is that gateway, that door to the Father. To our Creator. And the only way to the Father, as it said in John 14:6, that no one comes to the Father but by Him. In fact, it's just a couple pages back, John 14:6, where it says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay, so ultimately there's one life which is in the Father, and life is knowing Him, and there is only one way to that Father, which is through Christ Jesus. And no one comes to the Father but by Him. So the Spirit has to draw them. Okay, so here's another place where you can take all the pressure off. It's not your job to save the world. You know that it's not your job to save the world. Because if no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them, how are you going to save that person? I'll tell you what we do. First of all, if you were one of His, there was a point in your life where you were stirred inside and you wanted to know truth. You wanted to know what life was about. You wanted to know if there was another way. You were searching. You were drawn into that. And when that was stirring inside of you, in that process of it stirring in you, God somehow, some way got you Jesus. The revelation of Christ Jesus became real to you. The eternal, unalterable fact that, inalterable, unalterable, but the fact that He is the Son of God and the propitiation for your sins became real and you accepted it and you received it. And then out of that revelation, you began to walk with Him. So what we do is we just live that walk openly. And as you're living that walk openly and you're enjoying the adventure of life, because Jesus promised abundant life in John 10, He came that we might have it. So as you're just walking along, enjoying abundant life, going through life together, not stuck like the tree over there, but you're able to move to and fro. Realizing God's in control, and like a child, you're just enjoying the whole adventure. And in the middle of all of this, then you bump into somebody else on the journey of life who is at a similar place that you were a little while back. And inside themselves, they're saying, gosh, what's this life about? And I don't know, and I'm curious, but I'm just asking, is there a creator out there? Is there a God that loves me? And at that time, you, being stirred by the Spirit of God within you, who you listen to, who you remain in connection with, because you know God and He knows you, and He says, don't say anything to this person. Because maybe sometimes He's not ready to do something with that person yet. In which case you obey there. Or maybe He says, say this to this person. Because this person's ready. This person's hungry. They're searching for the truth, and I'm ready to reveal it to them. Whatever the case is, you play the role that God has for you in that situation. And then you just keep going on your journey with Jesus. Having crossed over from death to life, you and I live this day in eternal life with Him. And we're in the middle of a grand production in this play. I mean, the Christmas program is good, but it's much, much, much bigger. And in the middle of this, you and I, we have struggles, and we have difficulties, and we have trials that we face. You have a world system that's against you because you're a child of light. You have this body of flesh that you were born into, necessary for you to walk around in, but it's wired towards things that are not of God. And you have to yield it to the Spirit of God so that you can walk with Him. And then you're also in the middle of a spiritual war, and you have demons and angels and all of these things flying around, and spiritual forces even attacking you. And God uses all of these things to refine, to build up, to chasten, to strengthen His people. You know, the Romans chapter 8, and I'll close with this. I saw something the other day. I've seen it 1,000 times, and now I've seen it all again, brand new. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, where it says, "And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Okay, God causes all these things. So all of the struggles, all of the attacks, all the things that are taking place around us, God causes them to work together for the good. Of them that love God. You have an open heart. Everything that you are is in Him. You love Him with all that you are. And the second part here, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You know how many times I've read that through so quickly, and I've read it through and I've left off the. And so I've usually read it to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, just quickly, them who are called according to His purpose. And many who are called according to His purpose is the same as me going to the grandmothers, "Everyone, come over here." But when you are the called, you are a select group of people that God foreknew from the foundation of the world. You are the called, not called. You are those that are the wheat among the tares that God selectively said, "This is one of mine, this is one of the called. I am going to speak and draw this one." God picks and chooses. It is His right as creator of this entire thing. And you and I, the place that we have is when He calls, you and I respond. When He speaks, we with open hearts say, "Yes, Lord," and we receive from Him. And also realize that in all of this and everything that's going on around you, as the world is losing its mind and getting scared and all of that, we know that God is 100% in control. And because He's in control, He is also sending you and I into the midst of what will seem like difficult situations, but He has the whole thing under control. So follow Him in what He says, because what He's doing is leading you into an amazing life adventure. And with that, my time is up, so I will stop there.